preach the message God has given to you. And Brother Roark is my friend. Long, many years our paths crossed. Had a phone call, and I had no idea who was on the other end of the phone, and it was him. And we just sort of thank God for the many, many times we've had together. Appreciate you, my brother. Thank you for being here.
Well, the Rochesters sound as good as they ever have. I tell you, it's a blessing, isn't it? Do I need to put this on? Okay. Boy, it's good to hear you all tonight. And a blessing. And it's good to be here at Grace Baptist Church. When you pastor, you don't always get to be everywhere you'd like to be. But we've been here many times before, but am I on? Am I? I'm not. Do I need to mash that button right there? How's that? You heard that, didn't you? About that church had done all that remodeling work. And the day of invocation came, and they had the house packed out. And they had invited a special organist to come in. They had redone the organ and everything. And after they had the prayer, the organist hit the keys, nothing. He was dead. He looked at the preacher, and the preacher looked at him. And finally, he got up, and he said, "I think we ought to have another word of prayer and pray for this organ." Well, the old custodian looked over and noticed the plug-in had never been plugged up. The custodian plugged it up, and he wrote a little note and passed it to the preacher while he was praying. And the note said, "When the prayer is over, the power will be on." All right. That's the best I can do. All right. Well, Isaiah chapter number 40. Isaiah chapter number 40. Isaiah 40. Now, I'm like Brother Richardson's. I love this old Bible. I started preaching in 1975, and I've never detoured from the King James Bible. It is the infallible, inerrant, inspired, immutable, insurmountable, invincible, unalterable, eternal Word of God. I believe that. I've been criticized over the years. When I'd invite a man to come and preach, the first question I'd ask him, "What kind of Bible you preach out of?" Amen. Amen. That was the first question I always asked. So today you better ask a bunch of other questions. Come on. Amen. If you can and you're able, would you stand in honor to the reading of the Word of God? Isaiah chapter 40. And we'll begin reading at verse number 6. The voice said, "Cry," and he said, "What shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth and the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. O Zion, that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem, that bringest good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God." You may be seated tonight. Keep your Bibles open here to the 40th chapter of the book of Isaiah. I want to preach on this thought tonight. Who is God? Who is God? He said here, "Behold your God." I remember as a young boy back in the late 60s, remember the first time that I saw on the back of that vehicle, on the bumper, that bumper sticker that said those three little words, God is dead. I remember the first time I saw that, and I later learned in my youth that that thinking and that philosophy and that teaching that God was dead came from a German philosopher by the name of Friedrich Nietzsche. Friedrich Nietzsche was a chief counselor to Adolf Hitler in World War II. And Nietzsche believed that God had died, and all of the values and all of the morals and all of the ethics had died with him. But following the late 60s into the 70s, I remember, and so do you, most of you, that that philosophy and that thinking and that ideology began to permeate throughout Eastern Europe, and it ended up here in the United States. And to be honest with you tonight, in the minds of a lot of people in this generation, God is still dead. Atheism is on the rise, and it seems like church attendance is continually dwindling down and down. I remember as a young boy, the house of God would be full. Now it's hard to get folks to even be faithful on Sunday night and Wednesday night. It seems like the names of God and Jesus is still fairly popular curse words among most of our culture today. The names God and Jesus have become politically incorrect to use among the language of our society. It's sad, but the names of God and Jesus have been banned from our normal conversation of our day in which we live. The names of God and Jesus have been banned from the classroom of a lot of schools. The name of God and Jesus has been barred from the halls of our government. But I'd like to ask you tonight, how alive is God in your life tonight? Have you talked to him this past week? Have you allowed him to speak to you? In other words, do you sense his presence in an everyday walk with him? Do you sense that he's grieved when you sin and disobey? Do you have that sense of joy when you have obeyed him? Have you spoken to someone else in the last 8 to 10 days about him? Who is God to you tonight? If I were to pass out a piece of paper and a pencil tonight and ask you to write down at least 2 to 3 sentences of your definition of God, how would you define God? How would you define him tonight? Do you, and after you wrote those definitions, if you were to ask yourself, do you suppose that God would agree with my definition of him? Do you think that God would agree about my definition of God? Well, I think, to be honest with you, in our country and in our culture today, we have forgotten the true definition of God in our life because we've strayed so far from the Word of God. Isaiah 8 and verse 20 said, if they speak not according to this Word, then it is because there is no light in them. Boy, how true that is tonight. We have forgotten God today because we have neglected the Word of God. I want you to look here in Isaiah tonight and let's get 3 critical truths of the Bible's definition of God. First of all, we find here that God is above all. God is above all. Will you look in verse number 12 and following? Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and meted out the heavens with a span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance? Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor, hath taught him? With whom took he counsel, and who instructed him and taught him in the path of judgment, and taught him knowledge, and showed to him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are a drop of a bucket, and counted as small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing, and Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beasts thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted to him less than nothing and vanity. To whom will ye liken God, and what likeness will ye compare unto him? The workman melteth the graven image, and the goldsmith spreadeth it over with gold, and cast the silver chain. He that is so impoverished that he hath no oblation choseth a tree that will not rot. He seeketh unto him a cunning workman to prepare a graven image that shall not be moved. Have ye not known? Have ye not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have ye not understood from the foundation of the earth? It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in, that bringeth the princes to nothing, to make the judges of the earth as vanity. Yea, they shall not be planted, yea, they shall not be sown, yea, their stock shall not take root in the earth, and he shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither, and the whirlwind shall take away them away as stubble. To whom will you liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created things that bringeth out their hosts by number? He calleth them all by name, by the greatness of his might, for that he is a strong in power, and not one faileth. I tell you, friend, tonight, God is above all. Have you ever stopped to think the more that we think of ourselves, the less we know about God? When you think about the scriptures that I've read here tonight, when you and I focus in on the bigness of God, then my friend, you and I look pretty small when you look at it in the terms of the Word of God. God created everything that we see, everything that's in the universe tonight. Everything on this earth was created by him. John said in John 1 and verse 3, all things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. I like what Paul said in Colossians 1 verse 16. For by him were all things created, whether they be in the heavens or in the earth, whether they be visible or invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were made by him, and he is before all things, and by him do all things consist. God created everything. Genesis 1:1 said, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. God said one day, let there be light, and there was light. In Exodus chapter 20 and verse 11, for in 6 days the Lord made the heaven and the earth. I like what Job wrote over in his book, Job chapter 9, beginning at verse 2. I know it is so and is of the truth. How shall a man be just with God? In other words, if he will contend with him. He cannot answer him one of a thousand. Who hardeneth himself against him and prospereth? Who removeth the mountains and they know not, and overturneth them with his anger? Which shaketh the earth out of her places, and the pillars of the earth tremble? Who commandeth the sun, and it riseth not, and sealeth up the stars? Which alone spreadeth out the heavens, and treadeth upon the seas? In other words, which maketh Arcturus and Orion and Polytus the chambers of the south? Which doeth great things past finding out, yea, numbered without numbers? In other words, Job said in Job 12, ask the beast and they will teach thee. Ask the fowls of the air and they will tell thee. Ask the fish of the sea and they shall declare unto thee, who knoweth not that in all these that the hand of the Lord hath done this. In whose hand is the soul of every living thing and the breath of all mankind? And like what Hannah said over there in 1 Samuel chapter 2. Hannah in that little prayer said, there is none holy as the Lord. There is none besides him. Neither is there any rock like our God. Talk no more exceedingly proud, she said, and let not arrogance proceed out of your mouth. For the Lord, he is the God of knowledge, and his actions are weighed. The bowls of the mighty men are broken, and they that stumble girdeth with strength. They that are full have hired themselves out for bread, and they that are hungry cease. To they that are barren hath borne 7, and to her that hath many children she waxed feeble. The Lord killeth and the Lord maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and he bringeth up. The Lord maketh the poor and he maketh the rich. He bringeth low and he lifteth high. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust, and he lifteth up the beggar out of the dunghill, and he set them among the princesses and makes them to inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord, and he hath set the world upon them. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken in pieces, and out of the heavens shall he thunder upon them. The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth, for by strength shall man not prevail. God is above all. God created everything that you and I see in the universe tonight. I think about the solar system that you and I live in. I mean, we live in what is called the Milky Way. Did you know that the galaxy that we live in, called the Milky Way, is 7 billion miles across? And life inhabits this little place in the universe called the Milky Way. Scientists tells us if you could step back far enough and gaze the Milky Way, it looks like a giant bowl or a giant dish. And I tell you, they tell us if you could stand on one end of the Milky Way and travel to the other end of the Milky Way, if you could travel at 186,282 miles per second, in which light travels, if you could travel that fast, 186,282 miles per second, it'd take you 200,000 years to go across the Milky Way. But God made it all. Our earth in which we live on tonight is 25,000 miles in circumference. But the sun tonight is 1,300,000 times bigger than the earth. And yet they tell us that the sun has 1,000,000 quadrillion times more energy per second than the hydrogen bomb. And God is the one that made it all. No wonder David said, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day I utter speech tonight and tonight, speak of knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. The line has gone throughout all the earth and the words to the ends of the earth. I tell you, God made it all tonight, and he's the creator of it, every bit of it. God is the creator. But you think about the nations tonight. What did God say here about the nation? Look in verse 15. Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket and are counted as small dust of the balance. Look down at verse 17. All nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted to him less than nothing. In other words, God says about the nations of this world in which we live, God said, take all the nations of the world. You take the super nations tonight. I mean, you take the nation of America tonight, the United States, and you put them on this side of the scale. You take China and you take Russia. Take the super nations tonight and put them on that the side of the scale. But you take the intermediate a nation, those that's got great resources and military muscle. You take those intermediate nations and you put them right here beside the super nation. And then you take the small nation, the insignificant nations and all their little resources. And I tell you tonight, my friend, you put them over here all together. And God said, you put me over here on this side, and besides me, they're below zero. In other words, God said in verse 17, they're less than nothing. I mean, God is not to be compared to the nations of this world. So where does that leave you and I tonight? Well, in verse 22, God said the inhabitants of the earth are as grasshopper. No wonder David said, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holy. And a beautiful situation and joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north in the city of our great king. But Jeremiah had it right in Jeremiah 10 and verse 10. The Lord is a true God. The Lord is the living God. He is the everlasting king. God is above all. And that's the God we serve tonight. But not only is God above all, God is aware of all. When you start thinking about God and how great and how awesome and how powerful and how magnificent God is, I don't know about you, but I have the tendency to think sometimes, well, if God's got all of this to look after, the universe and all of creation and how it's made and how it all stays in its place where God has put it, then God doesn't care how I live. Then God doesn't care what I think. I think sometimes, well, God doesn't care about what I need, and God doesn't know really about me, but I'm wrong. Because the Bible says here in verse 27, look at it, Isaiah 40, verse 27. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. In other words, don't you think that God don't know you? I tell you, God knows you tonight, and he knows me. God knows the children that belong to him, and God knows those that don't belong to him. Jeremiah said, I know the thoughts that I think toward you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. I tell you, God knows about you and he knows about me. Don't you think God don't know about what we do? God knows about our sin. Do you think that we could live in a world that God has created, a universe that God has created, and hide somehow from the God that created us? David said in Psalm 90 and verse 8, "Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, and our secret sins are in the light of thy countenance. O God, thou knowest my foolishness, and my sins are not hid from thee." If we have forgotten the name of our God and stretched out our hand to a strange God, shall not God search this out, for he knoweth the secrets of our heart. Jesus said in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 10, "For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and nothing hid that shall not be made known." God knows everything about us. God knows what goes behind closed doors. God knows everything about all of us. God even knows my thoughts. I mean, Ezekiel 11 said, "For I know the thing that come into your mind, every one of them." I tell you, think tonight, God don't know what you're thinking right now. God knows every thought. I tell you, I've never had a thought that God didn't already know about it. I've never had a dream that God didn't know about it. I've never had an attitude, never had a desire that God did not know. God knows the details about all of us tonight. And I tell you, when it comes to creation, I can't help to think, boy, I mean, when you think about the big stuff that God's created, you think about the sun as big as it is, as a star, and it's still right where God put it. The earth and all the other nine planets in our Milky Way, I mean, that's big stuff. But I tell you, have you ever thought about the little details of life itself, about me and you? Now, I'm not very smart, but I do remember in school learning about atoms. Atoms is what makes up matter. And did you know, they tell us, scientists do, that you cannot see an atom under a microscope. You can see the shadow of an atom, but you can't see an atom. They tell us that you can take 100,000 atoms and you can line them up side by side, 100,000 atoms. And my friend, listen, line them up and they'll fit on the width of a human hair. 100,000 atoms. And everything we see is made out of atoms. That's what makes up matter. That's what makes things what they are. And the scientists say you can take 100,000 atoms and put them line beside by side in a straight line on the width of a human hair. And my friend, I got to thinking about that, because I know that in each of those atoms is protons, neutrons, and electrons in every one of them atoms. And guess who put all them protons, neutrons, and I mean, that's almost beyond my comprehension. What about you? I mean, it's detailed. God made it all. Amen, friend. Details, detail. I think about the moon. I tell you, I'm a country boy. I love on clear nights going outside. Sometimes my wife will wonder what I'm doing. So I'm out here looking at the moon. I'm just one of them fellas just likes to look at the moon. I'm not the one to go there, but I'll go by there one day. But anyway, I like to look at the moon. And you think about the moon. I mean, God put the moon in just the right proportional distance from the earth so that there can be life inhabited on this planet. Did you know if the moon tonight was just 100 miles farther than where it is, there'd be no tides of the oceans? And if there were no tides to the ocean, then there'd be no summer, fall, winter, and spring. But if the moon were 100 miles closer to the earth, then my friend, they tell us that the earth would not be able to be inhabited. It would be covered with water. And I thought about this earth in which you and I live on, this globe. I tell you, the earth is on its axis at 23 and a half degree axis. taxes. I mean, it's right there where God put it. If you go to a school library or a public school or a Christian school, you'll find a globe in most of those rooms. That globe is tilted on a stand. My friend, that earth is tilted at the right degree, because if it was off 1 degree, one way or the other, scientists tells us that if it wasn't 23 and a half degrees, then we would freeze to death or we would burn up. The earth is tilted at the right degree so that when the sun hits it, and the way God hung the moon, that life can be habited on this earth. I tell you, friend, listen, if you go to a classroom or a library and you see the globe of the earth on a stand, it's held up by that stand. You can spin it, but it remains at that angle because it's on that stand. But Job said, he stretcheth out the north over the empty place, and he hangeth the earth upon nothing. I tell you, God put it up there at just the right angle, and it stays there. But my friend, it's hanging on nothing. It's not only tilted and at the exact degree and hanging on nothing, but did you know that the earth turns every 24 hours, exactly every 24 hours? Not only is it tilted at the right degree and it's hanging on nothing, it's turning, but my friend, that's not all. It's not only spinning and tilted at the right degree and hanging on nothing, it's traveling around the sun. Details, friend, I tell you, God is above all, but God is aware of all. And I tell you, friend, God has got it all the way he put it. Amen. I tell you, you say, preacher, what are you getting at? We can't hide from God. You can't hide nothing from God. God knows tonight what you think about him. God knows that's in your heart tonight. God knows the bitterness that you've got, perhaps the lustful thought that you have. God knows everything about us. I tell you, we're all fearfully and wonderfully made. David said in Psalm 139, you think about the detail. Did you know our bodies has 970,000 miles of blood vessels in it? 970 miles of blood vessels from the top of our head to the sole of our feet, bringing nutrients and oxygen and vitamins. Our body has 10 million nerves, cells in it. 10 million. When I thought about 10 million nerve cells, no wonder we have to have 4 or 5 cups of coffee of a morning. Amen. Amen. Did you know that we have 4,000 taste buds in our tongues so that we can decipher between sweet and sour and bitter? Did you know that there's 3,500 sweat tubes per square inch? 3,500 sweat tubes per square inch on our bodies. 3,500 sweat tubes per inch. Young people, if you ever go out on a day, I'll tell you something to talk about. When you run out of something to talk about, just look over at her and say, well, honey, you sure do have some pretty sweat tubes on that hand of yours. Amen. God details. God made it all. I tell you, friend, did you know that our heart beats at 4,800 times every hour? Our heart pumps over 1,500 gallons of blood. We breathe over 2,400 gallons of air every day. And every morning when you and I crawl out of bed, did you know you don't even have to say, let me get up from here and see if I can get my heart to beating, see if I can get this blood pumping. God takes care of us 24/7. Details, I tell you, God, what are you saying, preacher? God God knows your burdens tonight. God knows your cares. God knows your trials. God knows your heartache. God is a God of detail. He said, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. David said, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, whence cometh my help, for my help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. God is above all. But God is aware of all. But lastly, not only is God above all and aware of all, God is able to do all. Look at verse 29. God can do all. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. I love what Jeremiah the prophet wrote in Jeremiah 32 and verse 17. Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth. And by thy great power and stretcheth out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. Do you believe that tonight? Do you believe that there is nothing too hard for the Lord? Sometimes God, we think God can't handle our problems and our situations of life. Sometimes I think we get to the place that we think, well, God, you're too late. God, it's far too gone. The situation is already out of hand. But my friend, we doubt that God is able to do all. I think we all sometimes get to that place. There was a man in the Bible in the Old Testament by the name of Abraham. God had picked Abraham to be the father of the Hebrew people. And God promised Abraham a son back in Genesis 15. For God said, look at the stars of heaven and count them. Look at the sand of the seashore and count them. God said, Abraham, so shall thy seed be. God gave Abraham that promise. God told Abraham that his seed, through his son, the promised son, Isaac, would be the father of many people. And Abraham was the father of a great nation. But Abraham's problem was in Genesis 18. God said to Abraham again, I'm going to give you a son. You remember that story? Abraham said, well, God, I'm 99 years old, and my wife here is Sarah. She's 90 years old, and we're already past childbearing age, and biologically it's impossible. But I like what God said to Abraham in Genesis 18 and verse 14. God said, is anything too hard for the Lord? And you remember in Genesis 21 what God said to Abraham's wife, that the Lord visited Sarah as he had said. And the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. And Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age at the set time which God had spoken to him. You see, friend, with man, things are impossible. With God, anything is possible. And my friend Abraham said, we're too old and it's past time. You remember Sarah even laughed at God, but God said, no, no. He said, you need to understand. He said, I'm able to do all. And my friend, God did do exactly what he said he would do. And God gave Abraham that promised son, Isaac, in his old age. In fact, the Bible goes on to say that when Isaac was 40 years old, Sarah died when that boy was 40. Abraham was 139 years old, and Genesis 25 and verse 1 says that Abraham remarried and had six more children other than that. I mean, listen, God knows what he's doing, friend. God is above all. God is aware of all. And my friend, nothing is impossible with God. God can do all. I tell you, some of you may be here tonight, And you may think you're too far away from God for God to ever do anything in your life. But my friend, I'm here to tell you, there ain't no sin that God can't forgive. And I tell you, there's no backslider that God cannot reclaim. And there's not anyone who's walked too far away that God cannot, my friend, in his mercy and love and compassion, draw that individual back to God. I tell you, God is above all. God is aware of all, but God can do all. And I tell you, when I think about things that God done through the Bible, it's encouraging to this preacher. I mean, when Elijah, slayed all the prophets of Baal and the prophets of the grove, and he went down there to the brook Cherith, and God let them old black ravens bring him bread and meat every day, and he drank from the brook until it dried up, and God sent him down there to the little widow's house of Zarephath, and there that little widow woman was gathering sticks that day, and Elijah walked up and she said, "I've just got enough meal in the barrel to fix me and my son a cake of bread, and then we're going to die." And I tell you, listen, with man it's impossible, but with God, I tell you, that barrel never wasted. Every time they went, God always done what he said he would do. I tell you, God's above all, God's aware of all, and God can do all. I think back about 11 years ago when my wife came down with breast cancer, and we went to the University of Kentucky, and they had done the biopsy, and they said, "Yes, you've got cancer, Mrs. Roark." And I remember when we got in the car, our little daughter Joy, who has the twin girls Faith and Hope, they were in the back seat. Well, I was driving down I-75. My wife was sitting beside me that day. It was on a Wednesday. We were coming home. And I told my wife, I said, "Let me call one of the preachers and let them preach tonight, and we'll just stay home and spend some time together as family." I mean, I could look through the rearview mirror and the tears were just coming down my daughter. I mean, she had a lot of pride about her. Being a school teacher, She, I don't see her cry much, but she was crying that day. And my wife, I said, "We'll stay home." My wife said, "No, we're going to church." She said, "We're going to go to church tonight. We're not staying home." And my little wife looked over at me and she said, "We got married in 73, and God, you asked me before we got married, what would I do if God were to call you to preach?" And she said, "I'll go wherever you want to go." And, well, I wrestled with it. I knew God was dealing with me about preaching when we got married in 73. But I wrestled with it for 2 years, finally give up, give in, give over, and surrendered. And I started preaching, pastoring in 75. And she looked over at me that day and she said, "We've always went everywhere God wanted us to go. We've always done what God wanted us to do. Now, why would God let this happen? Why would God let this happen? We don't miss church. We don't miss church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. We're there all the time. Why did God let this happen?" I didn't have no answer. My heart was aching. I didn't know what to say to my little wife. She's a preacher's kid. She was the only child in her family. Her daddy was a Christian pastor of the Carmelite Church. She got saved. I saw my wife get baptized. But God put us together. And I thank God for her. But I didn't have no answer for her, Brother Bennett. But I remember, boy, I come home and that evening, and before we got ready to go on to church, and I went upstairs in my office and I fell flat on my face. And I said, "God, you're the one that put me in this ministry. Now, God, you can't take my wife. She's my right hand. I need her. And I tell you, she's a wonderful wife, a wonderful preacher's wife, and women at our church, they love her more than they do me. Was that a shock? They do. They should. They should. They love my wife. Boy, I mean, they love me. I don't mean that. Now, boy, I don't get that idea. They love me, but they just don't love me like I do Miss Clara. They think Miss Clara, I mean, they ain't nobody like her. But anyway, I prayed. But I'm telling you tonight, God, what's impossible with man is possible with God. God can do anything. And then, my friend, it wasn't but a couple of years, I got cancer. And I remember all this. I said, God, what are you trying to do? I said, I do everything you want me to do, but God, I've been cancer-free now for over 9 years. My wife's been cancer. I tell you, for what you're trying to say, Brother Kent, I'm trying to tell you God is above all, God's aware of all, and God can do all things. Nothing that God can't do. We've got a great God tonight. Amen. A great God. Maybe you're here tonight and God, you need to know that God is a God that can do anything in your life if you'll just let Him. Let's stand our feet and bow our heads.